But you know, time goes on, things ossify, they become real. And what happened was when Compal launched the Comp token, Raph and I really thought, oh, this changes it.
Nice.
Because now we have magic internet money, we have magic internet banking, and now we have magic internet treasuries that need management and protocols that need management, right?
And it's
You
real.
don't, and it's real,
Yeah.
right? The magic bank makes money. The magic bank needs an organization to run it. The magic bank, when it becomes real, will be on the SEC's target list, like day number one. So what it needs is magic organization too, right? Like it needs this idea of, oh, we can trust this world of individuals to come together and run it.
Welcome to Mission DeFi with Brad Nickel, where we explore projects in decentralized finance that are innovating and driving our mission of financial freedom forward. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, rate, and review Mission DeFi and spread the word by posting a tweet to the show. All opinions expressed by Brad Nickel or his guests are their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Black Knox, Material Indicators, or any other affiliated organizations. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Brad Nickel or his guests as an inducement to make a particular investment, follow a particular strategy, or become involved with any project. A project being featured on the show is not an endorsement of that project in any way. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Brad's guest today is Denison Bertram of Tally. Denison and Brad discuss why they created Tally, why DAOs are important and where they stand today, how Tally is approaching the types of governance they support, and the issue they had with vote counting. Denison also does a great job of breaking down the layers of magic internet money and how it led us to the decentralized autonomous organizations we have today. Now, here's Mission DeFi with Brad Nickel.
So today I am excited to have Denison Bertram from Tally. And the reason I'm excited to have him is because I'm excited about DAOs and what they're doing for DeFi and what they can do for organizations and businesses in the whole world. And I think that Tally is kind of on the leading edge with providing mechanisms for people to help manage what they're building in a decentralized organization. So Denison, thanks so much for coming on board. Let's get started with, you know, what we always ask everybody, what's your background? And then how did you end up in crypto slash DeFi? And what have you been up to?
Sure. So I've been in the crypto space for a long time. I ran one of the first Bitcoin exchanges, maybe the first Bitcoin exchange in the Czech Republic in 2012. It was called buybtc.cz. Very wild time. Like Bitcoin was still at that point, magic internet money. Nobody would take it seriously. It was so hard to like try and raise money for it. And in the beginning, bank was just like, we don't care. Go sell your collectibles. Who cares? And then the European Central Bank came out with like this new guidance around digital currencies. And then no one I was dealing with was friendly.
Right.
Right.
Can we quickly backtrack how the guy from Buffalo, New York was running a Bitcoin exchange in the Czech Republic?
Yeah. So when I was young, I had like a tech background, but it was like the late 90s and tech didn't feel as welcoming as I had sort of like hoped it had been at the time. So I went abroad in college and I lived in the Czech Republic for a long time, 10 plus years. And basically, I was based there and I was an artist. I was actually a fashion photographer. Wow. Then spent about almost 10 years in Italy as a fashion photographer. But I had a creative technology business where I was helping fashion brands with like new tech stuff because fashion brands were at the time still very old school. And there was a big necessity to sort of like modernize, right? This is when like social media was coming up, when sort of like, digital experiences for fashion brands were coming up. So I was doing a lot of that. And I came across the Bitcoin white paper. And when I read it, it made sense to me immediately. I have a background in political science and it just like,
nice.
it just like hit the nerves, all the spots. So I just immediately got into it, you know, definitely had my time mining Bitcoin, mining Litecoin in the beginning. I was actually on a panel with Charlie Lee and what's his name from Ripple in 2013 at the San Jose Bitcoin conference. It was just like one of the early things where I was just like, yes, I'm into it. And Czech actually had a few early pioneers in the Bitcoin space. The guy named Slush, well, Marek invented pooled mining out of Prague. So it was just sort of like a good place, good time. What worked against me though is that I didn't really have a strong tech background. I sort of like lived my projects like hacking together Stack Overflow solutions. And, you know, I would have been a very wealthy man. Sometimes you see Brock Pierce on his like jet and stuff like that. Like I would have been a wealthy man had I not been trying to build all this with Bitcoin, right? I always tell the story where I was like paid like 100 Bitcoin for a bug fix. Right. So, you know, today, you know, just one of the people, you know, but it was great. It was a great experience, right? It's been a long time since Bitcoin started, right? So that's
sure.
That's something that like people forget. And, you know, I've had a great, great time. And I built a couple of little startups around Bitcoin after the exchange. I did an altcoin wallet and then a Bitcoin hardware wallet, which I also paid for in Bitcoin. And the guy that I had paid never sold it. Like, maybe about 6 months ago wrote me and they were just like, thank you, man. They're like, because they're like, no, I don't know if I should accept Bitcoin. I was like, I think you should. Never sold it. And like, you know.
Oh, he's
the rest is history.
Damn. Wow.
So, crazy. So, you know, I've been here for a long time and then got back to Ethereum space, I guess in 2016, 2017. I will always kick myself for not getting on board on Ethereum early on, but you know, such is life.
We all learn those lessons. Yeah.
And then I've been in Ethereum ever since. Actually, in the interim, learned how to properly code, just became dangerous and just, you know, love to just go code stuff.
Yeah.
But the way we got to Tally was I was working at a co-working space in New York called Crypto NYC, which in like 2016, 2017 was like the East Coast place to be if you were doing like a roadshow for your ICO. We had a lot of projects that were incubated in there. We were in the office next to OpenSea when they were just like just getting started. It was like the spot. And my co-founder of Tally, Raf, he and I used to sit next to one another and just like spitball ideas all the time about like what we wanted to build. And we had some like funny ones. We were going to do like a retreat planning company. We were going to do like some sort of other like crypto stuff, like, you know, just always spitballing ideas. And at the time in 2017, we had projects like Aragon and DXDAO and stuff like that come through the space talking about DAOs. Maker as well came through. And DAO seemed like the future, but it seemed way too early for DAOs.
Right.
Like a lot of things that people were suggesting were really built off the back of like a philosophical idea of what the future they wanted the future to look like, but there wasn't really substantially that much yet for people to govern with a DAO, right?
Sure.
Like we could make a DAO and MakerDAO is like kind of a big exception to this. But, you know, in terms of the way DAOs have sort of like caught the imagination today versus back then, there's a lot of mental primitives necessary to get to DAOs making sense, right?
Sure.
Magic internet money. Well, what do you need? You need magic internet banks. What do those need? Those need magic internet corporate shareholders. What do those need? Magic internet Quicken software, right? Like there's all these layers of imaginary fake future stuff that needs to become real in people's head. Like I remember in the early days of Bitcoin, there was a great article that said, you don't understand Bitcoin because you think money is real.
Nah.
And I like to take that idea for everything up the stack, right? Like you don't understand DAOs because you think corporations are real, right?
Uh-huh.
And you know,
that's awesome.
And you, there's so many primitives that you have to come to accept as real. Like we invented money first, crazy. Now we believe it, right?
Right.
Real,
right. Right.
So now once you believe in money, comes along DeFi. Like if you had said, oh, we're going to create a bank that doesn't really exist, that pays 20% interest, and it's going to be totally autonomous, and you'll never see it or touch it, but you'll just get money.
Exactly.
Nonsense, right?
Yes.
And when you start with Bitcoin, and you know the Bitcoin community, I won't get into it because then everyone will come after me and you know hunt my dog. You know, like the magic internet banks don't make any sense, right?
Right.
But once magic internet money makes sense, and then DeFi has a chance to like stick, And suddenly that makes sense, right? So now we believe in magic money. Now we believe in magic banks. Well, now we start to get to the level where DAOs really become interesting, right? Because magic organizations of autonomous, you know, autonomous organizations of individuals who don't know each other take all these primitives, right? So in 2017, we didn't have these primitives. We didn't have these things that people believed in, right? Like, people didn't believe in your token. People didn't believe in it. Like, they started with ICOs, but a lot of that was funny money, right? Like, we raised $800 million, right? Okay, well, good luck liquidating that, right? But you know, time goes on, things ossify, they become real. And what happened was when Compound launched the Comp token, Raf and I really thought, oh, this changes it. Because now we have magic internet money, we have magic internet banking, and now we have magic internet treasuries that need management and protocols that need management, right?
And it's real. You don't,
and it's real, right? Yeah. The magic bank makes money. The magic bank needs an organization to run it. The magic bank, when it becomes real, will be on the SEC's target list, like day number one. So what it needs is magic organization too, right? Like, it needs this idea of, oh, we can trust this world of individuals to come together and run it. And so for Raf and I, that was the aha moment, right? 2017 was too early for us, right? And a lot of things have changed since then. And a lot of, like, the primitives for DAOs of those early days don't necessarily work for today, right? And we focus on the Compound governor style of governance because it felt really solved clearly what the need was. We didn't need a social organization first. On chain, we needed a custodial organization, something that ran the locomotive, right? Like, does it need more coal, right? Do we need to lower the pressure? Do we need to, like, speed up the train, right? It needs some sort of, like, management. You know, Moloch DAO, of course, came a little bit earlier, and that sort of, like, hit off the idea that we could organize people. So I don't, like, I should mention that that's an important primitive, that, like, the magic organizing, like, clubs and with money thing that works, right? Like, the idea of a chat group with a bank account, right? Like, Moloch really, like, solidified that idea and it showed that it would work. So basically, when we saw these components come together, we realized, oh, now what's going to happen is everybody's going to choose this style of organization because this is a superior form of organizing human opportunity and talent, right? You know, we talk about how talent is evenly distributed, but opportunity is not, right? And DAOs, we believe, certainly at Tally, we believe that we can make opportunity evenly distributed.
Like, I like that.
If you're building a company in America, first of all, if you're going to be venture-backed, you got to be a Delaware corporation, right? And then, you know, there's something that is really crazy. Let's say you're building something in Silicon Valley or in New York, and it's like the 90s. Like, I mean, even today, you have to ask the U.S. government for permission to hire the most talented individual in the world if they're not in the United States.
It's insane.
It's insane. So you have an organization that needs this resource, but you have a gatekeeper to this resource. DAOs eliminate that kind of gatekeeper. It allows the communities to create who can participate in this organization. Additionally, from the human perspective, I've always had a problem with how corporations own your, like, corporal existence, right? Like, and this is something like that I thank COVID so much for, and I'm so hesitant about in the future, where companies, like, you have a desk. And the idea is, it's not enough that you give us your knowledge working. It's that we want your warm, fleshy body in this chair, just so that we're sure you do nothing else productive with your life or your day, right? Like, it's this weird possession, right? And it's such an outdated concept for you know, knowledge working, right? Like, you want my brain. My brain's in the chair when I'm at the keyboard. But I can get up and go to the bathroom and not be at work, right? Like, I can go to my kitchen and get a sandwich, and that doesn't mean that I'm not getting stuff done. But, like, just the corporate structure, you know, and this, of course, is changing now with work from home and all that. But, like, DAOs are really in this moment where it goes even further, where we say, hey, you know how you used to work for Facebook and your arch enemy was Twitter? Well, now you can work for Facebook and Twitter.
Exactly.
Right? And the communities of these two things are happy about that because there's synergies, right? Like, in corporate space, and it's not to say that there aren't, like, a lot of, like, sort of like hostilities in the DAO space, which I think are a shame. Right. I think there's a lot of protocols that are competitive, and I think that's also a shame. But as an individual, right, like I work at Facebook and I want Facebook to succeed at the cost of all else because I have this upside that's linked to it. Right?
Sure.
But in DAOs, it's really different, right? I want all the DAOs to succeed because I got everybody's airdrop. I want everybody's coin to go.
That's up, right? Awesome. Yeah.
Right. It's really this fantastically different way of thinking about it. Then it's communities who say, hey, we as a community, we all got this airdrop of this other thing. So I think we should integrate with them to make that thing better. So we make more out of it. Like our personal stake in it goes up, which should improve the thing that we started working on anyway. So our personal stake goes up. And oh, hey, there's a new thing that the other guys there, we should join together forces and like go build that thing too. So the whole thing like keeps going. Right. And I don't know if that lasts forever, but there's a long period of time when we can build something new, right? Like when you think about a DAO, the graph servicing a DAO, Uniswap for data providing, right? In a future where DAOs like Uniswap hire DAOs like Raid Guild to build tools, right? And then Raid Guild works with Opolis to get like the individual folks health insurance, right? And then they put their money into Nexus Mutual to like, you know, do insurance coverage for what they're doing. Like when this net gets bigger and bigger, it's almost this crazy post-ism world, right? Like it's like post-Leninism, post-Marxism even, right? Like where it's like, oh, you know, the means of production, who owns the means of the production? Well, it's not like the workers own the means of production. Like everything is kind of becomes the same thing. I own the bank that I bank at, and I own the protocols that my bank invests in, and those protocols hire me to build them. And it's this construction that it's like, I don't know if it works long term. I think it does.
I don't think it's stoppable. I frankly think it's going to change the fabric of our entire existence. And you know, my wife is very adamant about my children going to college so they can get the good job. And, you know, in the meantime, I've been subserviently feeding them, you know, you won't have a regular job. It's not going to exist. And if it does, it'll go away soon enough. And I do believe that I don't think it is stoppable. And when I invest in projects, one of the primary things I look for is this a Lego? Is this available? Is this something somebody else can take and build on? Because those are the ones that are going someplace, you know? Yeah. And anyone else that's got a closed wall of some kind, even if it has a DAO and it has a community and all that, it's going to change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing is, I mean, look at what communities are building without getting paid. You know, I mean, you've got communities enhancing and growing and building on projects because they have a vested interest in it. They have an incentive for it to do well. And they're just out building shit. And it's like, wow.
Look at Ethereum.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. It's a monumental change, I think. And and frankly, you know, COVID and quarantine and remote, I think also is going to be a big impetus for pushing it. So in all of the horror of that, there is a silver lining of a change in how humans work and interact. So
sure.
So tell people that was awesome. I'm glad I just let you run with that because I somebody working on this has to have those kinds of points of view. So to me, that's great to hear. Tell people what Tally is, what it provides, and you know how it functions right now. And then if you want to talk a little bit about where it's going.
Yeah.
Mission DeFi is sponsored by Material Indicators. Material Indicators brings science to investing and helps investors make more informed and smarter trading decisions. Their powerful community of thousands of experienced investors is free to join and is available to anyone that wants to learn more about trading crypto successfully. Visit their website at materialindicators.com. That's materialindicators.com. Or join their community on Telegram by searching for Material Indicators.
So at Tally, we're trying to make on-chain governance work. In many ways, I like to think of it kind of still as a research lab in a way. Raph and I, our team's gotten a lot bigger. I think we're up to like 15 or 16 people now. We're constantly building, trying to make things better, improving it. What we want to do is find a way to build the tooling that makes these communities work, right? Like when the corporation was invented, there's a lot of things we can take for granted because the state does, right? Like there's a whole apparatus, a whole ecosystem around managing that and maintaining that when things don't go right, right? Notaries, lawyers, legal systems, all these kinds of things. And we don't have that yet in DAO. So we're trying to build that tooling. We're trying to make it easier for people to create DAOs. We're trying to understand what DAOs actually are going to be, right? Like is the future DAOs like Uniswap, or is the future DAOs like block associations, or are the future DAOs like ExxonMobil where we all run our own oil rig, right? Like what does it look like, right? Like right. You can certainly imagine a future where you're like, I'm great at digging oil and I'm borrowing from Aave enough money to go buy another oil rig, right?
Sure.
And Raid Guild is going to give me the drillers, the deep sea, and we're going to throw it together like that, right? And like mom and pop on their, you know, MetaMask wallets, or we're going to put up the venture capital for it, right? It's entirely possible.
Totally doable.
So we are trying to work towards that. And we have ourselves pretty big goals. Currently, we're not open source, right? And we're building this like kind of closed source process, which every day feels more constricting, more difficult, right? And so, you know, one of the things that we understand and we know is that DAOs natively will work with other DAOs. Right. So long term, we have to be a DAO. And we are watching teams like, you know, Gitcoin, for example, which is in this DAOification process very closely to understand how are they doing it? How are they putting it out? Like what works, what doesn't work, where to improve? Because there's so many parts to, if we can figure out how you can DAOify someone like Tally or someone like Gitcoin, right, then we can figure out how we can DAOify your supermarket, right? We can figure out how we can DAOify your, you know, insert name of corporation here, right? And that's kind of the future, right? Because we want to poke enough holes in this big barrel of like how things are today that all these companies just, they're just like flood out into the DAO space and become DAOs, right?
Nice.
And I think you see that happening, right? Like when we talk to young people who are young people, I'm also young, but you know, like younger people, like people in college, you know, people are saying like, yeah, I want to like get out of university so I can join a DAO, so I can work for a DAO, right? And that is just like,
that's amazing.
You're just like, OMG, the world looks so, so different.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're going to see a future where people are just, you know, like the fact that you can exit Yale and or exit like Harvard and like work the same DAO as somebody in like Namibia who's just like, dude, I'm in, I'm doing a DAO in the scope of the same day is phenomenal, right? So that's what we're doing now. A lot of research, a lot of trying to like on a practical product level, we're trying to build tools today that make existing DAOs better, make them easier to use. There's a lot of people call them problems. I wouldn't call them problems. They're not even like challenges. They're more just like opportunities in understanding how we reorganize folks, right? It's a very new thing. For better or for worse, people understand companies that like, hey, we go in the morning and we suffer together in this room. And at the end of the day, they do some sort of happy hour that like makes it all feel better because, oh, we're a family and, you know, like whatever. Right? It's a very different experience to say, look, Llama 47 has been a really great, you know, contributor. And he's really saying that, like, you know, Balls for Breakfast 42 should get a raise. And we have no idea who these people are. All we've ever seen is a Pudgy Penguin and like a CryptoPunk and their GitHub or their like layout of the Discord. That's a very different future. Right? Yeah. Like when
meritocracy.
Meritocracy, but it doesn't even have to be a meritocracy, right? It's almost like community, right? Like there's a lot of people in community that don't pull their own weight, but
for
whatever reason decide we want this person aboard, right? Like
that's a good point.
Right? Like for a lot of times. We could certainly say the UBI projects, right? There's a lot of people in the UBI projects that aren't quote unquote pulling their own weight, but the community's, you know, persist anyway. When we first started building Tally, one of our first employees, an engineer in the Dominican Republic, I was really afraid. I'd never met her, right? She pinged me on Twitter and was just like, I'm in, let's build a future. I'm like, dope, we're doing this, right? Nice. And then you get off the Zoom call and you wonder, does this person think it's real? Right? Like, does Denison really exist? Like, am I going to get paid, or are they just going to disappear one day? Right. Like, there's all these things that, like, historically have made this kind of like work setup, this sort of like contribution setup, more difficult than other things. So there's just a lot of learnings here. And that's kind of where we are right now.
Well, it's interesting that that story you just told about the developer is that our trustless systems are building systems that require people to jump in with trust, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's doing that. And
yeah.
Whereas before, when you were hiring an employee and, you know, they do all these estimates of it's going to cost me a third of wages and blah, 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 blah to hire somebody. Here, it's just run and gun and figure out who's doing it and who's not and do what you want. It's cool. So today, if somebody comes to Tally, they're forming a DAO, kind of what can they do with Tally and how would they utilize it?
Yeah. So today what you would do, and this is on our roadmap, but today what you would do is you would build your DAO on top of Compound Governor's system. Although actually there's an update to that. We've been working with Open Zeppelin to support Open Zeppelin Governor.
Nice.
Open Zeppelin Governor is kind of the kind of new standard for compound style governance. It takes all the best of compound governance, adds a bit to it. It is the sort of like stamp of like, we started supporting only compound style governance with sort of this hypothesis that because we existed, more people would build on compound style governance and then we could build tools deeper, right?
Right.
We're early. There are still a lot of different explorations and style of governance out there, but the integration costs for these things are very high because it's not just the smart contract level. It's also the data level, the community level, the social level, and it's very hard. And as we'll get to the Uniswap bug, it's hard even when you're doing just one thing, right?
Sure.
So what has sort of come of that is that DeFi protocols by and large have chosen compound style governance as their sort of like chosen style of governance. There are some exceptions. Aave has a very strong, very interesting governance style. We would like to support them in the future. Currently we don't. And what you would do is you would build with Open Zeppelin today because that's the future going forward. But it also is going to be a lot easier for people, right? Like already people start the project with Open Zeppelin ERC20s, ERC721s, Ownable, Access Control, Open Zeppelin Defender, all these different things, right? So now they just take the DAO part as part of like their project, right?
Right.
So we expect to see many, many, many more DAOs created. Because it's going to be so much easier and there'll be so much more information around the specific type of like DAO, right?
Makes sense.
So you create your DAO and the part that becomes a little bit frictionful at the moment is then you got to email me or somebody at the team and say, hey, we got our DAO ready. Can we be on Tally? And then we create some subgraphs for you and then we add you to the site. So it's a little bit of a manual process, but then once you're there, your participants can create identities. We import identities from ENS or Sybil. They can create their identities so they're not known by just addresses. They can see their, you know, they can propose votes. You can create proposals on Tally. This is the next thing we're working on. We built it with, you know, we built it as tech people, and now we've seen people who aren't so techy use it, and we realize we gotta build it again. So you can create proposals directly on the site. Then you can vote on these proposals. You can see how people are voting. And kind of one of the more important pieces is that you can understand the kind of ecosystem of your community, right? When people are participating in Compound, maybe they also participate in Uniswap. What do they vote for in Uniswap? What do they vote for Compound, right? Like who votes early, right? Like on our voting charts, you can see who has an opinion that sets the tone for the outcome and who bandwagons on to the winning side. Right?
Nice. Nice.
So that's something that early on has been really interesting. We have some research done by this guy, Raphael, coming out pretty soon about how gas prices affect voting, right? We have some other stuff coming out about how like the combinations of votes. We're working with a guy named Leland on how combinations of votes would work out. All these kind of like different things that we're experimenting with different folks in the community around and building internally too. We're trying to just find this idea of where do these pieces come together,
right?
And how do they make the experience of governing, of DAOing easier? And there's a long road.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Do you envision for what Tally is down the line, do you envision it being something where it's no longer, you know, you're a developer building a smart contract system, but it's something where I can come and pull pieces off the shelf and different methods of governance, and a non-developer could actually build and set up their DAO there? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely part of our vision for the future. There are some tools like that that already exist that we will be supporting more. OpenZeppelin has a really nice like contract generator now, nice. Sort of like building blocks, still oriented towards if you're a little bit technical.
Sure.
But yeah, we will be making that process easier for folks. So that will be, you know, the future is a lot of DAOs, right? And we don't want to make a claim today as to what that future looks like. We just want to make sure that it exists.
Right.
Right. And so there's a lot of energy around making sure that people can try crazy things. You know, NFT DAOs are becoming a big thing. We definitely want to support NFT DAOs, understand what people do with NFT DAOs. Right. So, yeah.
So I guess that's a delicate balance for you guys, kind of keeping things flexible enough that people can experiment and try, but also making sure that the product is usable and people can figure out what they need to do. And you know, that there's that, what did Steve Jobs always used to say? People don't know what they want until you tell them. And so it's kind of a weird thing, because I think that in this case, in the case of a DAO, there's a segment of users who were going to say, well, I know I want people to be able to vote. I want my community to participate. I want to decentralize. I don't want to be touching this thing. And so I know the things that other people have done, I want to do that. And then there's the other folks that say, well, you know, I really want to do some kind of weighted voting or whatever. Yeah. And so I'm excited for what you're doing. I'm not excited for the job you have in front of you to try to strike that balance.
You know, you're absolutely right. That balance is challenging. I think about that a lot. Can Tally serve everyone in the future, or can Tally serve only a small slice of that future? Can that slice be a very big slice? Is it a smaller slice, right? Like, it's hard to say today, right? Because what do NFT DAOs look like tomorrow versus DeFi DAOs look like tomorrow? Are those tool sets going to be very different? Are the participants going to be very different? Today, there's a lot of overlap, right? Like folks investing in NFTs or investing in DeFi protocols. Tomorrow, will that be the same? I don't know, right? I've always thought of like, you know, for a while, I always think about like doing a side project where I create a Tally for just like social tokens, where it's just like, you know, I'm Taylor Swift, vote on, you know, what I'm going to wear to the Oscars.
I knew that was
right.
Coming.
Like that kind of thing. But on the other side, like, you know, that is a consumer product in a way. I'm not sure if the DAO ecosystem is there yet. Right. Like we've convinced a lot of folks of a lot of layers of what is real, but you know, I talk to people ask me all the time, hey, what are you doing? Like I basically tell them we conjure magical spells at some point. Right. That's what they look at me, right? Like, you know, you're like, so we started with fake internet money that wasn't real, and then we made fake internet banks. And now we need fake internet conference rooms where they do fake internet votes about how we're going to, like, fake internet raise interest rates and add collateral.
Yeah.
People are just like...
Now, I think if I was telling my dad what you do, my dad was raised on a farm, and I would just say, Dad, remember the cooperative that your father was a member of? That's what I'm building, right? Because that he has a reference point. Most people don't have a cooperative reference point, but you know, that's definitely something he could do.
Yeah, actually, that's a great way of saying it. Like, cooperatives on the metaverse, like there's somehow you have to like bridge the cooperative to the magic part.
Yeah.
Right. Like, Pudgy Penguin 543. Right.
Like, absolutely.
You know, because everyone, like when I talk to people, especially here in the States, right? Like when you talk to people in other countries, people are like, yeah, totally need it. Like I can't trust my government or my courts for shit. Right. But in the United States, people are like, yeah, but you always have to deal with the government.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you do. But they don't own our minds, right?
Exactly.
Like the US government doesn't own the infrastructure bill crypto things certainly are trying to own that, right?
Like, yes.
Ooh, if you write this novel in Solidity language and it does something, you're responsible for having thought of that, right? Like, you know, but all of this, you know, if if it were obvious, it would be no fun.
Sure, absolutely. No, you're tackling big problems simultaneously while everyone is trying to be that with their project, right? And mm-hmm. I absolutely envy where you are. I think it's a really cool place to be. Have you had experiences with some of the folks who are using Tally that, you know, you think are like, wow, this was innovative, or this was unique, or wow, what a mess, you know, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've had both. I think most people who use Tally think, yeah, this is what we need. They think of it because, you know, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you've got some idea to come up with some sort of new DeFi thing, you know, I used to say, my prior company, Dapp Hero, I used to say this thing where I would make kind of a joke, which is, don't spend your time building the thing that you need to build in order to build the thing that you want to build. Right, because we're at the state where still, you know, if you're going to build a house, first you got to go build bricks, right? There's right. no shop to go buy bricks. You got to go right. build bricks.
Right.
And to build bricks, you need like a brick oven thing. And then you got to build this oven to make bricks, right? Like, and that just recursively goes all the way down to like the bottom, right? And
right.
that's why I think that's why a lot of our applications are very, very like singular in focus. Right?
Yep.
Like most successful blockchain dApps do one thing.
That's single it. Serving.
Single serving, because the UX challenges, all the underlying technology challenges, they really become fractally difficult once you go beyond that. So Tally allows you to at least say, okay, you know what? I'm going to choose OpenSample and Governor, and I'm going to set my, you know, DeFi thing to accept the Governor time lock as the admin, and I'm done with governance. Right? Like Tally exists for the proposal creation, for the voting, for the looking who's participating. You know, we're able to give teams really great analytics over what their voting user base, where they're at, all these sorts of things that they don't have to think about. Now, we're not done, right? Like there's a lot more questions around community. Like folks are like, oh, how do I get a community? What are best practices? And there's a lot of like information about DAOs that are siloed in DAOs or in DAO participants.
Right.
So there's a lot still to do. But yeah, so people come and they're like, this is what I needed, because there's no way that we would want to build the thing we're trying to build. Plus this whole other thing.
Exactly. Right. No, I mean, that's your role is you're taking care of the infrastructure hassles that would go along with having to manage this thing. And you're giving them a simple solution out of the gate. And that I think that makes a ton of sense. And I think you guys are smart not to do too much. Right.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've played with Aragon quite a bit in the past. And I think it's elegant and it's beautiful and all of those good things. But every time I considered it for something, it was always more than I needed and more than I wanted to think about, at least right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. And so I think it's really smart to start simply solving the immediate problem. And then the other ones to be solved will come as you progress. And everybody will ask you for 4,000 things. So
yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. Everyone wants 4,000 things, right? If you ask anybody what they want, they're like, definitely it needs to come with whipped cream. And you're like, got it, right? But at the end of the day, we're trying to solve that like little piece first and let the rest sort of develop organically. I don't know. I lie awake thinking, oh, we need this feature too. And, you know, Raph is really great at being like.
What's your partner's name, Raph?
Raphael Solari. Yeah.
Okay.
And we have a great rapport of like, you know, me being like, and then there's cherries on top of the whipped cream. And he's like, look, we're making chicken. So let's stick with the chicken for now. Yeah. So we have a really great working relationship about ideating on what's important and where the space is. Cool. And we have a few team members now who really just do ideation and thinking about it. Like Nate Parton, Monet Supply, who writes our newsletter, does a lot of like, you know, actual participation in DAOs, especially the larger DeFi ones. So there's a lot of ingredients.
Sure. Now that's cool. So I told you I was going to bring this up. I wanted you a chance to talk about it because I think other people will when they see that we interviewed you. And you had a rough day. Last week, end of the week there.
Yeah.
And you had a little glitch on a vote or two. Was it two? Anyway.
Well, yeah.
So talk to me about kind of what that was like, you know, that sense of panic and what the hell's going on, and then what you found and what you learned from it. Because I think one of the things I love most about this space is the transparency of solving problems, right? Like the sushi thing that they discovered in the middle of an auction with 350 million at risk, you know, that they disclose that, that we in this community disclose when we screw up and how we screwed up, to me is our superhero strength, right? That is, that is something I think nobody can touch. And you guys did a similar thing with your postmortem on your bug. And so go ahead.
Mission DeFi is sponsored by Material Indicators. Material Indicators brings science to investing and helps investors make more informed and smarter trading decisions. Their powerful community of thousands of experienced investors is free to join and is available to anyone that wants to learn more about trading crypto successfully. Visit their website at materialindicators.com. That's materialindicators.com. Or join their community on Telegram by searching for Material Indicators.
Yeah, so to recap on the bug, and we have a more in-depth postmortem. Maybe it's out right now as we're speaking right now, or maybe tomorrow. Raph is putting a more detailed one out. Basically, what the error was, we introduced a bug when we started supporting an additional governance type. And this is one of the reasons why we're always like, keep our support minimal so we can be secure, which basically did the worst thing you can imagine, which is switch your vote from no to yes. Crazy. We didn't catch it. And I'll go into a little bit as to why I think we didn't catch it. And it only came up on the Uniswap proposal by Flipside Crypto, which ended up being very contentious at the last minute.
Right. Nobody noticed it until then.
Nobody noticed it until then. And then Getty Hill voted no. And the registered was voting yes. And then Nate Parmenet Supply voted no. And it went yes, and it pushed it over the edge. Like, it made it winning, right? Like, so it's a sort of like nightmare scenario. You have this bug, and because of your bug, you change the outcome of a proposal. And it gets worse, right? Because Dave Balter, who's behind Flipside, is actually one of the angel investors in Tally. So it looks even worse.
No.
Oh my God.
No. That's brutal.
I had no idea, man. Everyone's going to kill us. Like, it was just like, holy shit. This is bad. Ultra brutal, panicking. We were flipping out. The world works in funny ways, right? Like, originally, the delegation power for proposing this came from, I think, and I may be wrong about this, so internet, keep that in mind. Came from, I think, Index Co-op, I think, had delegated proposal power for this vote. And I'm not sure if they realized this. I think they maybe didn't. And this speaks to like how much work we have to do in explaining how each governance system works, and in particular Compound, is if you have to hold your proposal power for the entire duration of the vote in order for it to be not cancelable. So if I give you enough proposal power today to create a proposal, and you create a proposal, I have to continue giving you that proposal, that voting power, for the entire duration of the proposal.
Right.
If I delegate it away at some point before the proposal ends, now that proposal becomes cancelable, because the idea here is there would be some crazy fuck up like ours, and the only way to avoid some sort of, crazy nightmare scenario would be for the people who propose it to pull their proposal power away so that
sure can cancel. Right.
So knowingly or unknowingly, they delegated the power away to go do something else with it. And this entire time, I don't know for sure, the team would know, for a good portion of the vote was cancelable all along. So there's this huge panic, right? We are totally fucking it up, right? It's totally on our, egg on our face. Maybe you should bleep out the F words.
No, it's all right.
Totally are bad, right? We've totally screwed this up royally and expecting to just get grilled. And then Getty is just like, Getty Hill's like, actually this proposal doesn't have its proposal power, like it's entirely cancelable. And so he went ahead and canceled it because there's a great technical reason, right? Like, we've messed it up royally. Also, I think it's a great opportunity for like Flipside, because people came out of the woodwork at the last minute to like complain.
Right.
And you know, so you know, technically they did not, you know, they didn't lose this vote, right? It's canceled. Right. There's an opportunity to like revisit it, talk about it again. But it strikes just the, but like one of the fears that I've had for the longest time in Web3 is that, and this is not in any way to like cast responsibility aside, this is our fault.
Right.
Is when you click a button on a dApp on a website to do something on a smart contract, you just have to trust it.
Yeah. You have to trust that the code in that page is right and it's not doing something else.
You have
like emptying your wallet.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Like there is like the step, and it gets even kind of worse, right? Because, okay, let's say you click send money to Denison, right? Under the hood, the React app is just like, nah, send it to Brad. You know, it goes into MetaMask, and when it's a contract interaction, it says send money. You're like, yeah, well, I said send money to Denison, so I guess it's sending money to Denison, right? And then it shows you the arguments, but they're hex encoded.
Right.
So unless you're a robot, it doesn't make any sense to you, right?
Exactly.
So you click yes, send, right? So in our case, people are like voting yes. They look at the hex arguments. The hex arguments clearly say no if you're a robot. Right. But for humans, whatever, you can't read it. So you just click, yeah, vote no, votes yes. What's even worse is for high profile individuals, such as Nate Parton or Getty Hill, who have a lot of vote power, you know, are people who use Trezors or ledgers like hardware wallets.
Sure.
So hardware wallets are even worse because now you get a little message on your screen that's like this big.
Yeah, you can't read
it. So you got a little press the side button to like see the rest of the hex and just like,
yeah,
you know, the wallet's just like YOLO, and you're like YOLO, right? So there's no way to actually know what's happening at that step, and that's scary as hell, right?
Yeah,
and that's part of the bug. That's part of the reason why it happened. The other part of the reason is that doing end-to-end testing in Web3 is crazy hard, right? Because what you have is you can test your front-end components, you can test your software, then you have to test it interacting with MetaMask, and then you have to test it interacting with MetaMask and Ledger or Trezor or whatever these other hardware wallets are, and then you have to test it interacting with that and then successfully making a transaction on the blockchain. And people are regularly upgrading and changing how the blockchain itself works, and they're regularly upgrading and changing how MetaMask works. And MetaMask, I love the folks, love Dan Finley, the whole team. You know, when they update MetaMask, right, you don't get a pop-up that says, hey, would you like to update your MetaMask? It just does, right? So every time you wake up in the morning, you hope Dan Finley is not tied up in a closet somewhere, right, with like a team of like hackers with like a gun to his like dog's head, who've like pushed out some crazy update. And again, I love MetaMask, Dan, the whole team. Like they are responsible for helping to build this ecosystem. Nobody should impugn that at all.
No, I agree.
Like, you're trusting that that's happened, right? You're trusting that nobody's got a gun to my head, right? Like, it's all we know. Flip side could like be in my house and be like, all right, Denison, we invested, do it, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You got to trust that that's not going on. And then at the very end of it, it's just like, you know, the community is just like, not your keys, not your wallet, man. It's all up to you. And you get a hex. Somebody goes, okay, now read the hex decimal and tell me if it's okay.
How do I take responsibility? Yeah.
So the testing of that is really difficult. We've actually built an end-to-end test pipeline, but it's not finished yet. We've only gotten up to test like a certain portion of our flows and not every possible flow. We're not yet able to test hardware wallets. So if somebody out there knows how to do that properly, I've sent out tweets multiple times on my Twitter where I'm like, hey, who's actually doing end-to-end testing properly? It's always some sort of like solution where people are like, it's the best we do. Another reason why a lot of successful dApps are just one function, right? Because they're just testing that one thing. Right?
Yeah.
And they just like, hope that doesn't break, right? So so there's like a whole slew of stuff in there. Also our fault, right? But the space is just hard. So there are a few changes that we're going to make to address that. What we're doing is we are switching away for delegation and voting. We are going to switch over to use delegation by signature and voting by signature. Cool. This is because they use the EIP 712 standard, which said standard as if everybody properly standardly supported it, but that's another topic. But basically, at least in that case, you're going to get MetaMask pop-up that gives you at least a pretty formatted JSON object. Right, as soon as I say JSON object,
yeah, there you go.
We've like, lost all the grandmas in the world who are voting on Uniswap proposal, right? And grandpas, I shouldn't be gendered, like all the folks out there who don't.
Probably about 90% of the venture capitalists buying tokens.
Hey, right? So you know, we want to do that. So at least you can MetaMask at least will show you what you're signing. So you do have this moment to like say, am I signing what I think? Now, does Ledger really tell you that at the end of the day? You know, now we're trusting some intermediary step. So that's one thing that we're going to do that makes UX a little bit worse, right? Because now there's two pop-ups. You got to sign it. Now you got to push it on chain. But at least, you know, at least you will see if you're voting yes or no. And even then it's like, yes is represented as one and no is represented as zero. So, you know, you kind of wonder at the end of the day, like, have we made things better? Or like, now are we like, you know, throwing something at the user, be like, you read it and sign it. It's only 1,000 pages, right? Like,
well, I suspect that MetaMask and wallets are going to start being interface interpretive of some of the signals so that developers can then send them things to make people read. Now, of course, there's another security potential, but at least it'll make people feel a little better about it.
That's
crazy. Well, you guys handled it beautifully, so
thank you.
One of the things, like I said, I love about this community. I usually wrap up and ask everybody, who's somebody that you respect, love, think is a powerhouse in the industry, or maybe it's somebody that nobody really is necessarily aware of but you think is really important to what we're doing, or just the big names too. That,
you know, I always have to give out a shout out to Austin Griffith. I mean, dude has just been cranking out stuff for the people since day one.
Nice.
Just really crazy that, like, you know, he could have started so many companies. You know, there's no end to the amount of like money VCs would have given him. And frankly, I hope he takes it one of these days. But like, you know, I'm just like, look, dude, you know, but the now he's working on Moonshot Collective, which feels, and I mentioned once I wanted to start a DAO where they just built the crazy ideas I come up with. Moonshot Collective feels a lot like that.
That's cool.
So yeah, at the end of the day, I kind of like, maybe it's cliche and that's really funny that I say like shout out to Austin Griffith is cliche, but like, awesome. My man just keeps cranking it out, right? Like, also Paul from Sablier or Sabler. I always use his Solidity starter.
Nice.
So like, I gotta give a shout out to him because every time I think of some idea, I just clone that template and get going. So, yeah, but that is by no means exhaustive, right?
Like, sure.
All of this works on the back of all of us. So
yeah. No, that's what's so cool about it. I love it. No, those are great. That's awesome. I appreciate your time. There are so many other things I want to ask you about. Like, I really want to ask you about the crazy blockchain you built the other day and all of the other side things you're posting on Twitter all the time. But blew me away, man. I was like, what the hell is this guy doing?
I know. That one with the inside subgraphs, like,
yeah.
I don't know even what to do with that idea.
It's just, you know, that you could is amazing, and that you then did it is just astounding. It's crazy, man. Yeah. I love your tweets. I love the ideas you post up and the things you're building on the side, and probably is what keeps you sane besides family.
Absolutely. That's cool. Wish there were like 10 of me.
Yeah. How should people reach you?
Reach Tally, definitely. You can come to the site, withtally.com. Our Twitter is VoteWithTally. That's great. We're going to try and start doing a regular Twitter space where we're just like about DAOs.
Great.
Let you know about that.
Please tag me on that.
Just trying to like get better at being out in the community, thinking more about like DAOification stuff. So hit us up there. Yeah, that we also have a Discord, but I can't like say the Discord invite out loud.
Right.
Like, Discord.com, you know, XYZ dat, I don't know. But you'll find that link on
the website. Cool. Yeah, website. Really appreciate your time. I think I could go another hour and a half with you. I enjoyed the conversation. Thanks so much for sharing everything with us. And I definitely want to connect back on this conversation again in 6 months or so if possible.
Would love to. Love to.
Thanks,
Brad,
man.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day and good luck with that baby. I hope you guys are getting some sleep.
Thanks.
Take care.
You well.
Bye-bye.
me, DAOs are the future of most organizations. I think they will permeate every aspect of society, and we will see more decentralized work, more decentralized corporations, or everything will just become a decentralized project. Either way, I'm excited about that, and I think that Denison and Raph and the entire team at Tally are doing an awesome job of helping all of us navigate and build for it. Thanks for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends on Twitter. Anything you can do to help us spread the message of financial freedom is appreciated. Have a great day.